The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very Elegant ahead on a day. He's trying, but she's going to beat him. Very Elegant wins the Rambert.
Welcome back to the B-Set. It's finally here, the $5 million Tab Golden Slipper. Ray, the two-year-olds, they've been up for a long time. This has always been their grand final. I'm excited. Five group ones, massive day of racing. Let's get stuck into it, mate.
Yeah, fascinating day. Fascinating slipper. We'll kick off, I guess, talking about the slipper. Look, Gay and Adrian have got six runners as it stands. If Espionage happens to scrape in,
yep,
that would be seven. But I think that what everyone can see is that just about all those six horses will play a role in the speed.
Yes, agree.
Where Storm Boy ends up, I guess, is where everybody is interested in. So where does he land?
I think he leads fence. Yep. Just leads the slipper up. Yeah, I do. I think that's how they'll ride him. As you said, I think Shangri-La Express, Lady of Camelot, they take sits. Look, Fully Lit's got gate speed, but I think they'll take a sit on that runner. Storm Boy straight to the front, straight charge, outside leader.
Okay, that's possible.
Yep.
It just really, a lot of it hinges on what happens with Storm Boy out of the gates. Like, he's not necessarily slow out, but he's just one of those horses that takes a stride or two to get going. And in a slipper, that could be vital.
Yep.
If he happens to spring out, look out, he might find the front. And I guess the question with Storm Boy is he as good as we all think he is? There's a lot of hype around him.
Yep.
You know, the sale to Coolmore, the price tag, all the little bonuses that go from winning races like the slipper that are attached to that sale. Does the form stack up?
It does. Yeah, from a ratings perspective, going back, and his Magic Millions win was, like, you know, the clock's not everything, but I just thought visually how he did it as well. He's ridden up, he faced a breeze in that fast tempo, and then when that final 200 metres, the way he extended and found that extra gear and how he went through the line, he's just a serious colt. He's really exciting. Price perspective, I marked him, the market's what the market is now, I'm $2.30. So the market's $2.40. So I think that's around his mark. I just think he's awfully hard to beat.
It'll be interesting to see which way that price goes. Whether the tab's prepared to take him on,
yeah,
or whether they want to cuddle him.
Yeah.
Whether the punters want to back him.
Yeah.
He's got starting to get that little bit of extra hype around him. You know, there's the story that's out there about how Gay took him to a pub to sell of it. You know, that's going to get a lot of airtime between now and the race. I think I've seen Channel 7 put a few things out about that already.
You'll know, and when the market gets made, that last five minutes of betting is going to be really great to watch, because that's when the big guys can and girls can get their money on. So. Mm.
Well, Switzerland's the second favourite. How does his form stack up?
Really good. No, I have Switzerland in for third. I know he was perfectly ridden everything last start, but he ran very fast time. And you really delve into his form. He's improved each run. And everything just points towards he's going to obviously peak tomorrow. He's going to run a career peak figure, if that's good enough to get to Storm Boy. But he's just... The thing about Switzerland is he's just bomb-proof. So now he's adaptable. He's proven in all race shapes, conditions. He's just a really nice improving type as well. So, and I like his action. I got him in for third pick, and he's the horse where you're going to be looking for something to come out of the pack, and it might just be him.
Well, what numbers have you got?
I've got Storm Boy on top. As I said, $2.30. The one I've backed, and I'm going to definitely, and I've had something on, as I said, is Prost. Now, going back through Prost's form, you look at his final 200 metres and his last two runs, and they've both had merit. And I've just seen this sectional profile before, and he was 28 days between runs last start. I can see this horse really hitting the line quite hard. And if the favourite fails, he obviously raced against the favourite last start. Mm. I know he has paid $11, $12, but I thought he was really good behind Storm Boy. So I like that form reference. I know I said Switzerland come out of the pack, but I think he's the other one that's going to be charging late. I think he's a 1,400-metre type horse, probably more sires, but in a high-pressure slipper at $41, $34, I think it is, happy to be on him as well. So
he's a ridiculous price.
Yeah.
I agree. I think he's a real forgotten horse in this race.
Absolutely.
And the fact that he raced against Storm Boy is appealing because obviously Storm Boy is a clear favourite. Yep. He did take a little bit of ground off Storm Boy.
Yep.
After, you know, getting that, I think it was three pairs back or in the third pair in the run. And, yep. you know, Storm Boy controlled that race completely.
I just will say one more thing about Storm Boy with the market. The computers did give a bit of a guide there. I know he started $1.20, I think it was, fixed odds, but he started $1.04 on the totes.
Yeah.
So that just confirmed how strong they rated that Magic Millions win.
Yeah. Look, I thought, obviously, I'm Storm Boy on top as well. I think Straight Charge is a danger. I've got Prost in my numbers, and I've got Switzerland in my numbers.
Yep.
In any other year, I think Straight Charge would be a short price favourite for this slipper.
Yep.
He was carved up deluxe in that Todman and still kicked away a couple of lengths early in the straight. He was a sitting shot for Switzerland, who ran him down, beat him just on a length, having all the favours that you could possibly want in the run. There's a scenario here where Straight Charge gets across and leads.
Yep.
He could sit outside Storm Boy. I don't know whether he can out-tough Storm Boy.
Yeah.
But he could out-speed him.
Yeah.
You know, these are all colts. There's a lot riding on on this race. So they're all out there to win and enhance their value. And I thought if something goes wrong with Storm Boy, Straight Charge is the horse that has that right racing pattern to give himself every chance. I'm very wary of Prost. I just think he is the massive overs in the race.
He's just such an easy bet, Prost.
Yeah.
At the price.
He is going to be strong late, as you said.
Yeah.
With the view to running in those longer races. So there's a lot of horses in this Golden Slipper that are big prices.
Yep.
And that's obviously due to there being a lot of hype and support around Storm Boy and Switzerland. I mean, horses like Manal is a 50-1 or 60-1 chance, and in any other year she'd be a leading contender based on a strong win in the Sweet Embrace leading in. But she's got that awful barrier.
Lady of Camelot, outstanding in the Blue Diamond, really liked her trial the other day. She will take the sit. I think she does have acceleration, so she has to be thereabouts as well.
And the horse that I had as my slipper horse for a while was Espionage, and I can't believe a Breeders' Plate winner doesn't make the field for a Golden Slipper. It just shows you the changing face of racing, because that would be a given in the past. I saw a few people on social media saying, you know, how has this happened? And the only theory I can come up with is the fact that prize money is so much bigger now than it used to be.
Yep.
That you can win a Saturday race that's not a Breeders' Plate or whatever. You can win a couple of Saturday races and work your way into the field, whereas you couldn't do that before.
Yep.
The prize money for those stakes races were so much more significant compared to your normal run-of-the-mill Saturday.
Yeah.
Whereas that's probably the gap is closed unless you win one of those big money races.
Mm.
But they're, you know, sales restricted a lot of the big money races. So if he happens to squeak into the field, I'll certainly throw him in somewhere in the trifectas or whatever. But, I think we both agree. It all revolves around Storm Boy and what happens with him in the run. Ryan Moore, obviously there's a lot of pressure on him to get it right.
Yep.
He got it right last year on Shinzo. So it's not like, you know, it's not like you can't come down here and do it. So that's a slipper. Look,
Storm Boy on top.
Yeah, Storm Boy as well. I think we should reference the track.
Yep.
Last Saturday we were on a soft six with minimal rain. Obviously we had a warm week. This week we've had a relatively cold week. I think we had one day that was up towards 30. It might have been Tuesday.
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
But it's been largely more sort of your autumn kind of feel. We've had something along the lines of 25 millimetres of rain since the races were run last Saturday.
Yep.
And which were run on a soft six. We're on a soft five as it stands. Mm. So it would be interesting to see what happens there in the first couple of races and to see whether that holds up.
Yeah, I'm playing even just off again. But just off, not as wide as they got last week. So hopefully it holds up well, and because it's just such a good day's racing. So we're going to quickly run through all these group ones, the remaining four. There's just so many angles to this meeting. Honestly, if you find a couple of winners, you're going to have a good day because you're getting the price. Let's go to the Rambert Stakes. So back to race five. Are you with the internationals or are you with
I'm going to wave the giant killer now. I'm going to wave the Aussie flag here with Think It Over. How do you fault him? He goes out there every start, gives 100%. He's always in the mix. He's got a great racing pattern.
Yep.
He could potentially lead this, although I wouldn't be surprised if a horse like Your Military Mission is put into this race, in a race that doesn't look like it's got a lot of speed. But wherever Think It Over is, he'll be in the top two or three in the run.
Yep.
You know, he was brilliantly ridden by Nash to win the Very Elegant with that inside run. Look, you can't fault him. He goes on top for me. I am wary of Via Sestina. There's a lot of raps around her. Yep. They paid a lot of money for her. She brings the right form races from a Sydney Autumn Carnival perspective. Chris Waller unabashedly saying that he's following William Haggis's blueprint by bringing a horse out here through the Champion Stakes to run in the Randvet, then into the Queen Elizabeth. So, look, if she's as good as they say she is, she's going to be hard to hold out. I hear she's got a backmarker's pattern.
She does, yes.
So it'll be interesting to see. The other international has had no publicity at all.
No.
Plaster Carousel ran in the Arc.
Yes, it ran up. It was well beaten in the Arc, but it was, let me just get it. It
started about 25 to 1, which $26
is not, in an Arc.
It's not a complete roughie, I guess, but
it's good form for this race, $26 in an Arc. And it's start before I thought was very strong in France. But I just want to, for me personally, I'm with Via Sestina. Not a lot of confidence. Just time and time again, we just see them come out through this autumn carnival, and they're just that around that 2,000 metre mark, they're just a bit too strong for our types. And I've gone through, watched her replays, lined up her form, and I do think she does have something to offer. She has acceleration and really strong closing speed. So happy to put her on top. Look, not a lot of confidence. Probably one of the races I'm going to be more quiet on the day. Mm. But from a tip perspective, I want to go with her. I just always say it, just let the market guide you in the last couple of minutes with those types of
races. Fascinating story about her. Yeah, you know, they bought her for $5.5 million.
Yeah.
She went through the sale ring as a yearling for Australian $10,000.
Oh, wow.
She cost 5,000 guineas or thereabouts at a sale. And then she's won a Group 1, the Pretty Polly, back in July. And she's gone through the sale ring for 2.7 million guineas, which is about $5.5 million Australian.
Jeez.
Plus the carousel cost quite a bit herself. I think she was around the $5 or $6 million mark as well. So there's a lot of money riding on these mares. Anyway,
Wow.
We'll move on to the guineas.
Yes, let's go to the guineas. I'll kick off. It's short now, Riff Rocket, but I thought he was one of the better bets of the day. I thought his first up win, he's a Derby winner, and his first up win was very strong there in the CS Hayes down at Flemington. Then he started 6-4 favouring the Australian guineas, and obviously he had a bit of a checkered passage, but I liked how he wanted to pick up to the line. I think it was just a little bit also flat second up, and maybe now looking for the 2,000 metres back to his home track. I think Nash is going to be quite positive on him. He just has run to a figure that wins this race multiple times. I think he's ready to peak third up. As I said, 2,000 metres looks ideal. I think he's a really good bet, and he's just coming out of fast run races as well. So that's the way I want to land with him.
This one's not going to be a fast run race.
No,
I would imagine. I'm going to be Team Tom. I want to jump on him now that he's at 2,000 metres.
Yep.
I thought he was fine in the round with guineas. He didn't have a lot of luck, as a number of horses didn't.
No.
In that sort of clump of horses. But the last time he struck 2,000 metres, he drew barrier one, he sat midfield, got into the clear at the right time and just smashed them.
Yep.
I think they'll make some use of barrier two. James Cummings has sort of flagged that.
Yeah.
That they'll be putting him into that sort of first few in the run. Well, maybe not first few, but certainly into a more striking position than he has been.
Yep.
And look, I just think that this is the race that they think they can win.
Yep.
Riff Rocket he just has to bring that good Melbourne form back to Sydney now. Last time we saw him in Sydney, he was beaten at Rose Hill by Snowman.
Yep.
But he's obviously gone to a new level down in Melbourne since then. So, look, if you're looking for a negative, that's it. And that may well just be looking for a negative.
Yep.
I backed him in the Australian Guineas, and he was just a bit flat second up, I think, or flatter second up.
Yeah.
Then he was dynamic.
Because he was just so good. There's a better word than good. So good first up.
Yeah, he was really sharp first up. So he just wasn't quite as sharp second up, which is probably natural. But goes for the 2,000 metres. He's the logical danger. I think Tom Kitten will want to be in front of him in the run.
Yep. I've got Nash being quite positive on Riff Rocket. But I understand what you're saying.
We haven't seen him be super positive. He's been sort of a midfielder kind of runner in most of his races. So he's got, that middle to midfield, outside kind of gait. Gunbare looks like the logical leader.
Yeah.
With not a heck of a lot of other speed. So, look, they've really come for Riff Rocket in the last 24 hours, which might be significant. But I'm going to stick with Tom for this race. I'd be surprised if he can turn the tables in the Derby if they both go that way. I think the Riff Rocket's probably more a Derby prospect than Tom Kitten. I think this is the one they want to win with Tom. So I'll go with that. And we'll see what happens. What's the next group?
The George Rider. Well, isn't this a race?
It is, and obviously we've got, as we speak at the moment, still that cloud over Think About It.
Yep.
As to whether he will run or not. It will be interesting. I think if he does run, the bookies will take him on massively.
Yeah.
You can't go into a Group 1 with any kind of setback, even if it's as minor as it appears.
Yep.
So I hate going around him, but while he's in the field, I'm going to go around him.
Yep.
I got some big numbers in this race.
So do I. I quite like my bet here, though.
Which is?
Amenable.
Okay.
And I'm also going to have something on V8. I don't know what's happened to me. I'm going on the Melbourne form. But look at Amenable's second up run last preparation in the Memsey Stakes. So this is at Wait for Age as well. Obviously, it's Wait for Age tomorrow. Was an absolute cracker behind Mr. Brightside. Didn't have much luck. Wasn't suited to the race shape. And actually ran some of the fastest closing splits of the meeting. I Wish I Win was in that race. It ran second. Mr. Brightside obviously won. You saw Alligator Blood. Like, that's Cox Plate form, Group 1 form. Goes to Barrier 4. I know he started $1.80 first up, but I think he probably half needed the run for this being the logical target. Mark Zara on, perfect map. I think there's just a lot to like about him at $17, $18. So I'm happy to have something on. And V8's the other one. Back to the 1500 metres coming out of that Australian Guineas. He just gets in quite well, I think, V8 with Damien Lane as well. So happy to play those two.
I'm going with 3 3-year-olds.
Yes, okay.
I'm going to go with NCAP at the slight value. I mean, there was a lot said about him. I watched that race closely, the Randwick Guineas, to try and work out whether I thought he would have won the race if he'd have got a killer shot at him. And I'm still not sure.
Yeah.
So there was
I've watched it back a few times.
Yeah, but he's only won one from 10, which is a bit of a negative, I guess. But when he's raced Militarize, who will likely start favourite here in the absence of Think About It, or even if Think About It's there, I think he'll probably still start favourite. There's not been much between them.
Yeah.
Militarize got NCAP in the last stride in the Golden Rose, and there was about less than half a length between them in the Randwick Guineas, where NCAP was held up all the way up the straight. Just did not get a look at them at all. Blake Shin rides Barrier 2. Whether that's a plus or a minus, I don't know. But I think either way, it's probably a good thing, because if they are getting off the fence, they'll open up a run.
Yep.
I'd be surprised if he gets held up. So I've got him on top of Militarize and V8. That's probably the order. V8 is an interesting horse because he's been to Sydney only once and struck a heavy track. And I think he ran fourth in the sires. So he gets blinkers on. He comes out of that Australian Guineas, which is Riff Rocket.
Yep.
Ran well behind Mr. Brightside. Was a Wait for Age winner in the Australia Stakes. Whether it was really a Wait for Age race, I don't know. But Southport Tycoon did finish second in that race, and he's come out and won the Guineas. So. Yep. I've got the 3 3-year-olds there as the major chances. I'm not really bullish about any of them.
Yeah, it's one of those races, though. You can have a, you can spec a few at odds. Just one more thing about that last start with Amenable. They just came home a very strong rating last section, and the margins throughout off that slow pace were quite strong. So I like that the race is coming out of as well. So happy to put him on at the odds. Now, we've obviously done the slipper, so let's go to the Galaxy, which for me, I know we've got the slipper. Away from the slipper, this is a cracking race.
This is a big race.
Yeah. 1,100 metres, handicap conditions, capacity field. What more could you want, Ray?
I think we might be in agreement in this race.
Perfect.
I came back to Arf Cabin.
Yep.
I think that he, if he is going to win a Group 1,
it's
this near. Is the one. He gets in okay with 55, thanks to Private Eye being at the top. He comes off what James Cummings would describe as an energy-conserving run in the challenge, where he just didn't get a look at them.
Yeah.
He was convinced, speaking on radio yesterday, that the horse would have won the race if he'd got out.
Yep, I think so. I wish he did.
Yeah, and just the way this race looks to be run, and we expect it to be run reasonably quickly with Front Page drawn out wide and Osmosis drawn out a little bit as well. They're going to be heading forward pretty quickly, I'd imagine. So I would be surprised if Aft Cabin isn't in the first half of the field, wherever that is.
Especially if McDonald on.
He's a horse that's always promised a whole heap.
He has.
He's delivered sometimes, but he hasn't really stamped that Group 1. Now, he didn't really have a spring, did he?
Yeah, he had a bit of last preparation. Just what did he get up to? I'm just grabbing his form up now. He went to the Stradbroke and
missed the spring with him.
Yeah,
they've given
looked
him
after him.
Yeah, they've given him that little bit of time, and he comes here to strike second up, where he has been effective in the past. Sting out's okay. J Mac rides, as we said. Like I said, I think this is his best chance to win a Group 1. I am very wary of Osmosis.
Yep.
If he happens to get any kind of control,
yep,
he could be very dangerous.
Yep. I'm really keen. Mm-hmm. Aft Cabin, I think he's a great bet. I can't add too much more to what you said, but just the first up run, I agree. I think he probably should have won. And it's just how he got to and through the line. Those last few bounds just told me that he's ready to peak. Out to the 1,100. Look, I would have loved 1,200, but the 1,100 smothered away. He's closing speed. He's got plenty of ratings to win this race. And there's just a lot to like about him. And his trials before were impressive. I just think he's flying. Mm. I really do. I think this is going to be his best preparation. And for me, everything just points towards a career peak performance.
Yeah, well, I can't see him winning a TJ.
No.
So I think the Galaxy is a good race for him.
Yep.
As we've said, he gets the perfect setup.
Well, yeah, I think if they win this, then I know they've got In Secret for the Everest, but maybe he becomes like another preparation in, a stronger horse. He might be one of Godolphin's leading chances
perhaps in
the springtime. So he's got to stand up on Saturday. I think also just quickly, Sunshine in Paris, she's going to sprint really hard. I had her in for second pick. And also Uncommon James looks completely just set for this race.
Not sure what to do with Sunshine in Paris. The trials have been Chris Waller-like.
Yeah.
In that they've just sort of tucked her in and not really exposed her at all.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know what she's got in the locker. We know she's good. We know she earned an Everest spot with her first up win last prep before getting injured. Most of her form is against her own, against the fillies and mares. So that's the minor query. But, the market, I think, will be significant with her as well. I've got an Aft Cabin on top of Osmosis in that race. So those are the Group 1s.
Yes, done and dusted. Let's get through this rapid fire. So over the odds, Ray?
Over the odds is a good question. There's plenty of horses here. This is the ideal day for people who think who go looking for value. Look, the horse I think is probably the most over the odds, and we mentioned it, I guess, is Frost.
Yep, no, I agree.
He's not a horse I've got on top, as we've said, but I just thought he was a silly price. So I'll just go with him. I think that it's a good day to look for a bit of value.
Yep.
If you can find it. At the same time, you know, some of those that are well in the market are there for good reason.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with Amenable as my over the odds, yep. But definitely Prost as well. I've backed in the sleeper. And I will back Stormboy. I'm just waiting at the moment. But at the $34.41, last time I checked, he's just a really easy bet to have. Under the odds.
I'm going to be risky here.
Yeah.
And take on Alentia.
Same.
Yeah. Look, she could come out and make us look silly.
Yep, I agree.
Not ideal having that setback.
Yeah. And $2.80 in this field, it's...
Given she was going to be going to the Coolmore.
Yep.
On the back of that run. I think that, yeah, she's probably a little bit short in a race where there's a lot of different ways to go. There's a few horses there that I like at a little bit of odds. I'm going to have her in my numbers, but... Yep. I don't think she deserves to be as short as she is.
Yeah, no, I just think the 280 is just very skinny. As you said, coming off the setback, the only other way I was trying to look at her is she does race quite well when fresh, but that's a forced 35-day freshen up with that setback, as you said. Though she could easily win, but $2.80, I'm happy to have a couple of bets around her, and which will be one of my best bets of the day in that race. Out wide.
Yeah, we'll go to Orange on Sunday.
Lovely.
The Orange Cup Prelude. Now, race 5, number 7, Associate.
Yes.
Now, he's also an acceptor for the wildcard, Southern Wildcard at Goulburn.
Yep.
I think if they go to Orange, this horse wins.
Yep.
I thought it was an excellent run in the Country Championships race at Maruya behind Bandy's Boy. Started in the market.
Yep.
Just got way too far back. Finished on, beaten 3 lengths. Won at Goulburn over a mile, sitting up on the speed before that was 61 kilos. So I think gets into this race pretty well, back to the mile. Down on 55, soft draw, every possible.
Yep.
There's another horse I like at Orange actually called Musical Affair. Also got Country Championships form. Race 6, number 1. Ran second in the Mudgee qualifier. Mm-hmm. So it's in the Country Championships final. Goes around in a class 2 with 58 on its back for Mitch Stapleford. It's drawn wide. But it'll make a beeline for the front and be pretty hard to run down, particularly if they want to be going to Randwick and,
yes,
and having a crack there. I think they'd like to be going well in a class 2 at Orange.
Absolutely. I'm going to go stay for Saturday and go to Kembla. Race 5, number 1, the new Sinatra. Was quite solid in the market there, last start at Newcastle, and was just checked and blocked at a key stage and forced back to the inferior ground after chasing a fast pace. I thought... he tried really well and he was very solid in defeat. There was a really nice margin to third and the race rated extremely well relative to the day. So he's just ready to peak now, third up. He's found a nice race. I know he's drawn wide, but when the sting out at Kembla's in the ground, they can get off the fence. And I think he just rolls forward, can sit outside leader or find a nice spot and be really hard to beat. I quite like the new Sinatra. Saturday, Kembla, race 5, number 1. Alrighty, best bets. For Slipper Day.
I'm going to go with Aft Cabin in the Galaxy.
Oh, I love it.
I tossed up between a few of them. Again, there's a few horses that I've got on top that I like, but I'm not bullish about.
Yep.
I just think Aft Cabin has to win this race.
Well, it's confident. You can be betting confident because it's just primed for Saturday.
Absolutely. So this is the race about. I think they can win.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yes, and, it does.
And so I'm happy to go with him. Look, I'm quite interested also in Schwartz in race 4.
Interesting horse.
Look, he's been... I think he's probably about the right price. Like, he's still got plenty of upside. I'd imagine he's being set for the Arrowfield
in
a couple of weeks. He's had 2 wins, and both times he's won, he's led. I don't think he'll be leading here because Red Resistance will probably look to do that. But
yep.
I don't think that's a bad thing for him. I think he can just lob just behind them. He's trialed pretty well, you know, went with Osmosis okay in his first trial. And I don't know whether the 800-metre trial was ideal for the second trial.
Yep.
He looked like he was a little bit more under the pump a little bit, not too much. But I think he's a horse that John O'Shea really likes.
Well, he said in an interview it's his best horse, he thinks, in the stable.
Mm. And he's found J-Mac to stick with him, which is also encouraging.
Yes.
He's
a really interesting horse.
So I'll go with him as my other one, race 4, number 6. But race 9, number 5, Aft Cabin.
Yeah, I'm got two bets, really best bets on the day as well. Rose Hill race 6, number 2, Riff Rocket, quite like him. He handles all race shapes. He'll push forward with Nash. The 2,000 metres third up just looks ideal. Happy to be with him. Quite keen. And I really like this runner in the last race. Is Tashi.
Down in the way. I like it too.
Yeah, there we go. So race 10, number 11, Tashi. Now, I know it's coming out of a benchmark 88, but that race, they don't rate much better. A horse out of that was called Tintuki. It was $26 in 5-2, $3.50. So the market just loved that race. I think it was 1 cent deduction. So happy to be with the race itself, but just also the horse. She's just gone to a new level, improved each run, maps to have all favours, soft dries okay, has acceleration, 53 kilos, $7.50. Just,
yeah, it's good each
it's
way.
Just, it's just like a good that. Bet. It's just a really good bet, and as we said, I'm happy to be slightly against Alentia. So
I think if the track stays on that slightly soft range, it really helps Tashi as well.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to be dealing with a hard track. I think we can completely wipe that out. Even if it goes to a good four,
yep.
I don't think we're going to be dealing with a hard track because I don't think it's possible.
Yep.
Given the amount of water the track's had and the track condition it was last week.
Yep.
So there has to be good padding there for everything.
Yep.
And that should suit Tashi.
Yep. So black type, hopefully by 6 p.m. for Tashi on Saturday. All right. Well, thank you for everyone listening on in, and good luck. Enjoy this slipper, and hopefully you can get out there.